Told you I'd be back. I'm sorry? You want me to remove the duct tape from your mouth? Is that what you're asking? I'm having a little trouble understanding you. You're going to have to speak up. You can't. We'll just have to leave things like this for a little while longer. Turns out I'm gonna be a bit busy. Have to move at the timetable. There's gonna be a scramble inside of folks trying to take advantage of us. And I hate when people try to take advantage of me. I really hate it.
Hey, stop that vehicle! I want this entire lot shut down! No one gets out of here! No one!
No plan ever survives first contact with the enemy. I have contingencies, of course, but it's frustrating that my very best plans never seem to get used. Bad luck, I guess. I was so hoping that they'd contact you, their pilot, asking for you to swoop in there and rescue them with that helicopter you rented yesterday, and I would be the one to answer. With this phone, you think you could have played along if I put you on the phone? Or would it have been better for them to hear my voice on the other end? I'm not entirely sure. So much depends on if I have you next to me when the phone rings, or if you're already dead. It's not this phone ringing. Wait, just a... here we are. Go for a lapis. Mr. Ross, excuse me, my bad. You're going by Michael Bellick now, aren't you? Oh, I'm well aware, sir. Yes, that's right. Everything is still secure. I'm moving up the timetable as we speak. You need not worry. NRO Delta is being deployed. I have ample forces in reserve as well. No one and nothing will leave this island. That's right. No one leaves. That includes you, sir. Yes, yes, I'm sorry. No exceptions. The chairman was very clear in his instructions. I have my orders. You understand how important it is to follow orders. Just stay put. I'm sure you'll be perfectly safe exactly where you are. And so will you. I got the message. I remember what you said. Heaven is nothing if you don't make the best of the rest. Oh yeah, the times define the lines I can never go across. I lost the toss, but I will never show.
Crawford, you hear this rampaging metallic howling. It's not incessant, it stops. Then you hear gunfire in response, and you hear this kind of sound of claws and nails being shredded against something. Eventually you hear several boots step inside from several different directions. And in reaction, severe gunfire. What you heard were handguns. These are assault rifles. Precise, clinical, in bursts. And eventually you hear these two rampaging forces, because as these infiltrated killers have now entered the premises, they are not... You hear someone kind of yell like, "Hey, I'm not a danger, I'm putting my hands up," and you hear them shoot that person down in response. They're absolutely no quarters whatsoever. You know these two forces are going to clash eventually. But you're just upstairs in that windy, cold room.
And it's going on below me towards the entrance, right? Like,
yep. You have heard of several gunshots on the other side of the mansion, however, towards what you remember what was named the observatory, or like where there was this tower on the mansion. You've heard some fighting around there as well.
Okay. We have two equally good ideas.
Oh.
Please do.
I want to go to the garden.
All right, good.
Okay. You kind of make your way to the garden, and you hear again gunshots peppered here and there. And after a minute, this howl. That is, it sounds like a howl, but you know better. You know it sounds that way to your human ears just because of the configuration of these, whatever makes it. But it doesn't wish for it to be a howl. It just happens that way, and it makes it even more horrifying in a way. You make your way towards, you have a top view of the garden, this kind of large a glass bubble. And you see that there's a large crack on the side of it, and one side has been blasted open, or broken open.
Like all the way down to ground level, it's already broken open?
Yep. And you see like a shape in there, it looks like a guard that is, doesn't seem to have legs.
Okay, so that's perfect, but I want to make sure, so I'm going to set the grass on fire.
Okay.
And then dip, like I just want to get it on fire to make sure all the things that were in there come out, but I want to leave before they do.
Okay. What are you using to...
I have my lighter. I can...
Make another natural roll.
I also have withering if I need to really set something on fire. Oh
God. Of course he does.
Of course you do.
44.
Oh, wait. Over 40, though.
Over 40, though.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Over 40. Damn. That's too bad.
Oh, my God. That's crit fail. Matt, what happens if you crit fail an unnatural roll?
Nothing good is the answer.
Nothing good. Yeah.
Okay.
You kind of have your lighter and you focus on the grass and you see movement in there. You're right. Like, these are... whatever the Edenites are, they're still waiting in there. The thought you have maybe is that they're waiting in there like predators.
Right.
And you kind of focus and put you all into it, and you just have this chill run down the back of your neck. As you hear like the sound of glass, like shards of glass kind of hitting each other, making its way. Well, actually not making its way. It just... is emerging from something just behind you. Maybe 15 feet down the hall.
Fuck.
And the sound is coming from a perfectly out of the angles of a slight little corner. There's all these lines hitting each other, and it seems that sound is coming from it. And from it, you also hear that howl. What do you do?
I would scramble backwards out of the dome.
So you weren't even in the dome yet. You were you were kind of like the floor above it, overlooking it. You can scramble in the dome if you want, or whatever you want, but whatever that howling thing is, it is close.
And it's on the floor with me?
Mm-hmm. It's behind you.
How brave is Crawford? Is there enough dome to slide down the other side of it?
Sure. The glass is fairly thick as well. That's not something, like, if you land on it, it should support your weight. Probably gonna crack, but...
I think before I do that, I'm gonna pay attention to where all the lines converge. Like the way I pay attention to Bob and everything else crazy in my life.
Make an unnatural roll with plus 20%.
That is a 14.
Ooh. You hear that sound of glass and maybe metal, and that howl through it, that hellish howl, is coming from this rectangular angle, and it is being borne out of it, and it's coming for you. You know that deep in your bones. Why, you don't know. Maybe it smelled you. Maybe Catherine is having a revenge through death. It doesn't matter. What matters is she gave you the key to survive it. She warned you. You betrayed her, but she did.
Now I'm trying to remember. That's why you take notes, kids. She gave me a cloth with a shape on it.
What's the shape?
Circle. Oh, okay.
You can do it. You can do it. I believe in you, Wes.
So I feel like being transparent is more interesting here. It's hypergeometry, and it's a circle versus a square.
Yep. Or an angle.
The dome is the safest place. I jump in the dome.
Make a strength roll.
Double zero and two. So...
Oh, 02.
That's good.
Oh, 02. Okay, yeah.
You break your window that was basically overlooking the guard. You break it. It's an awkward fit. You're a pretty big guy. But it's that or suffer whatever's fucking coming out of the ether behind you. You squeeze through and you jump on the dome. You're going to take 1 point of damage. You succeeded your roll, so you kind of jump on it on the top. It's pretty... You're like on the top. It boom, with this heavy thump. Cracks, does not break, and you're basically on top of it. So do you just slide down on one side towards the crack? What do you do? Or the opening in it, rather?
Man, it's so contrary to my first thought, which was, no, I think I will go in. Yeah, I want to go towards the crack side and try to get inside.
Okay. Make a dex roll.
13?
Hot dice here, Wes, making it count where it counts. You slide down on the side, and you're kind of half awake, but that survival instinct is still very much there, and you book it, my friend. You sprint in there as you don't see it, because you know seeing it will be the end of you. You don't want to push it as far away as you can. If you want a good look, you can, but... That thing is going to hit you. It's going to swallow you whole. You just hear the sound of glass behind you follow. It just kind of slides and moves, and you don't even know how it moves. But you don't want to know. Maybe you want to, but not right now. And you sprint inside of the dome. As you see these large tropical plants and even palm trees. It is very, very... The first thing that hits you in here is the humidity. In the front and in the back, you have the cold... wintry Scottish wind, and eventually you're gonna feel movement on the dome. Give me a power roll.
That would be a 2.
Oh my god. You're kind of like, okay, it came out of an angle. You are in a place where there is no angle. Then you kind of look, you see the crack, and you see all these small kind of lines and triangles, and it's like, no, please.
So my initial thought was to get as far away from the crack as possible, because it's the only straight lines.
So that in that case, that is what you do? You just kind of go and just, nope, you don't look at the cracks, you kind of just look at the line? Is that what you do?
No, I don't. As I was coming into the dome from the top, I realized, like, my mind is made up about the lines. Like, that's how it is there, however that is defined.
Yeah.
So I'm going as far away from... somewhere it can be. I don't think it can be on the curved surface. So, like, I want to go in the dome and go to the other side, to where I'm up against the curved edge, as far away from the crack as possible.
Okay.
Although I did have a thought. Are there any coconuts on the ground?
No.
Okay.
You lean to the curved edge, and you as far away as you can to the cracks. What do you look at?
The ground, and I'm looking for changes in the light and the shadows.
Oh, you see the shadows shift. You very much do. You're just gonna see it shift in a way where it's granular, where you see kind of like all these points that kind of shift and move, and the sound of on the dome, it sounds like hail, falling down very, very hard on the glass dome. And then that bone-rattling howl that makes the ground around you quake. It's like it has a bass to it. And then you feel that it is gone. And you hear, in response, another scream of terror, and then tearing sounds farther away in the mansion.
And now I probably start to remember why I was there in the first place. So I feel very much like I went to let the raptors out and the T-Rex came after me. But I'm still in with the raptors. So now my concern is getting out of the... I think I'm going to go back to the plan that I had. I'm going to try to work my way around the dome to the crack. And before I get out of the crack, we're going to light some shit on fire again. If I can.
Yeah, make a stealth roll.
And this is where the dice are going to fail me, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, no. Believe in yourself.
Nope. 88.
Oh, no!
Oh, no. Man, I don't know what these things are.
That's not reassuring.
You, I assume you want to burn this garden down?
Yes, I do.
Flick open the lighter. And you see a weird shape kind of emerge from the leaves and the grass. This perfectly pale, child-sized figure that looks human, but not quite right. It triggers the uncanny valley feeling through the roof. Where its nose is too small and it's kind of flat against its face. It's more like slits. Large black globulous eyes. The starting of a little bit of hair atop its head. You see it as it these kind of small arms, but very long hands with six fingers and long nails at the end of them. What's looking at you is about 4 feet high. Completely naked, but it seems like it has no reproductive organs whatsoever. Like a creepy, innocent-looking, but also absolutely horrifying child that looks at you with curiosity and something else from these reflective, large, black, globulous eyes. It looks like an abomination, quite frankly. And as it sees it, the light that you kind of flick open, it just kind of approaches and it has legs. And it kind of kneels down on almost on all fours and kind of approaches very erratically in a very strange way. And it just looks at the flame. Make a sand roll.
42.
Why'd you even bother rolling at this point?
I have 11.
Yeah.
Roll 1d4.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. You don't have 11 anymore. Mm-mm. You can project. Remember, you can project.
I need my pal. Oh, jeez.
It costs willpower, though. Yeah.
Yeah, he's willpower.
I'm losing one no matter what, right? I rolled a 3. I could project 2 of it off.
You could project up to 4.
So I could get rid of all of it? But what does it cost me? It costs me willpower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you roll a d4, and it costs that much willpower and that much from a bond.
Crawford needs his willpower.
Yeah, that's true.
He needs his willpower.
I mean, I have 21 right now, but I need it. And I don't think I can do Song of Power again.
Yeah.
That will probably wipe me out.
Not with the sand, yeah. It's up to you, man.
All right, I'm going to project it onto my wife. And I rolled a 4.
Okay.
So does that mean I can project it all?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't lose any sand?
Lose no sand.
But I lose 4 with the relationship with her?
Yes. Makes sense. You are the agent of gods. She is not.
She doesn't matter anyway.
No.
What's she at now? What's her bond score?
She started at a 10. Because remember, he's got really high...
Okay.
Like, charisma, I guess, is where it came from.
Yeah.
Because he's still a cult leader. He's still got to be able to convince people of things. These are the things Catherine was talking about, right? That she was so proud of.
Emma?
Yeah, Emma Varney.
Yeah.
I know in the back of my head that a human created the thing in front of me.
The Edenites.
That's right.
Or a human claimed to have created the thing in front of me, at least.
You see, well, what's your cult? I don't think you have a very...
The cult's not high.
No. You don't get this creepy thing looking at you and looking at the flame. It just kind of looks up at you with its completely inhuman black eyes. There's no hint of emotion in it. Like, it's impossible to read. Then it kind of looks down at the flame.
I feel like Crawford's curiosity would overcome him. I would shift the lighter to my left hand, and then I would light my thumb and forefinger in the right hand. So now I have a piece of fire in both hands. One's purple, one's...
You see it kind of scuttles back inside of the grass.
I smile.
And very slowly kind of emerge back, curiously looking.
Oh, as it's coming back, I just pull hands on the grass.
Begins to catch fire.
I'm out.
Okay, make a dex roll.
With a smile on my face.
Opposed to the Edenite's dex.
Fuck.
Oh, shit.
What is my dex? Nope, that's a fail at 63.
Yeah, I failed too. You kind of set this place ablaze, get out, and you feel something tug hard against you. It basically kind of yanks you to the ground almost, tugging at your leg.
I look back and see it, I assume?
Yes, just this small, strong, bony grip around your leg and just kind of stares up at you in just...
I light my hand again and, like, go towards it with the fire.
Okay. You see it kind of rears back, but it seems to be getting used to what you're doing and holds you tighter. And is beginning to kind of drag you, trying to drag you, like, deeper in the grass. And as this is happening, you see another one kind of emerge from the side, kind of looking.
Uh-oh.
Curiously at what's going on. You see, yeah, they have these kind of, like, small slits for mouths.
Oh, God.
You see kind of opens up like a lamprey's mouth. So rows upon rows of teeth. And it just kind of clumps down on a severed head. Takes a nice bite. And just kind of looks at what's going on.
Hmm.
Yeah, it just drags you in there and just kind of drops you and kind of looks at you.
Man. I tempt... to cast infallible suggestion on the one that drug me in.
Okay.
That's a lot of willpower and sand.
So 8 willpower, roll 1d4.
Uh-oh.
2. I'll take it to the dome because I don't trust my dice right now. Puts me at 9. And then 8 willpower, or if it succeeds, then 8 willpower.
So it's a pow test first.
Okay.
Okay.
Oof. 85 over 75.
Oh no.
So you do not lose the willpower nor the sand. You try to suggest something. This is an utterly alien mind. There's some human pieces of it, but it's just this horrible mix. Someone played mad scientist in here. Big time. And it just kind of looks at you and cocks its head.
You gotta get out of there, man.
How much... So the place is on fire now, though, yeah?
Mm-hmm. But they were absolutely... They are studying your face like a painting. While the other one is chomping on a human head.
Which, honestly, I don't feel like would phase me at all at this point. Like, not really.
Oh, no, that's why I'm not making you roll sand for it.
So they were scared of the fire, but they learned pretty quickly.
Because they haven't been touched by it yet. But also, you got withering.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what withering costs?
Okay.
12 willpower, 3 HP, and a D8 sand.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
But I think that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, shit.
And I'm going to do it, like, super overtly. Like...
I get what you mean.
I'm willing to self-immolate a little bit for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that. Like, I don't want there to be any doubt in whatever they call a mind. What's going to go on.
Okay. So, 12 willpower, 3 HP, 1d8 sand.
Fuck. There's a lot of sand I don't have.
And there's no roll.
Oh, no.
No.
No, it just happens.
It's just automatic.
It's just bam. Well, you roll 1d20.
Oh, for the how much HP? Yeah, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. A 2. I'll take a 2 all day.
Okay.
And a 20 for damage?
Yeah.
And it rolls a 10.
All right, that's good.
Every time you channel this, pieces of you are getting sucked away. You are becoming less and less human. Taylor said it in a very poetic and real way. They are scared of fire because they've never seen it before. They have never felt its touch. You're going to change that for them.
Dramatically.
As you just kind of look at it, and this anger boils in you, and you just... With the lighter in one hand, you just unleash. It's reflex, but it saps from you still. And this burst of it's like a fire snake that just emerges out of your hand, jumps and runs its course through this strange deformed white body. And as it does, it lets out this very high-pitched noise, almost like an ultrasound, and it skitters away back into the grass. The second one, chomping on a head, drops it, runs away, and it smells like burnt caramel. What the fuck are these things?
I'm gone. I'm out the crack.
You're out. Oh yeah, you're out of there. There's technically an entrance back to inside the mansion, to a gated key card that you saw earlier, or there's the big, you know, crack that leads outside straight up.
The key card door is shut, I assume.
It is.
We'll take my chances with the crack.
Get outside in the cold, in the snow, and the wind that again has picked up in the last couple of hours.
I'm at 9 HP, 9 willpower, and 9 sanity.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
That's incredible.
Going back to the two fellas down in the Rocky Cove where this Michael, this man, Michael Bellick, from what you know, David, has his hands up. Mm-hmm. The other one, the security guy next to him has his gun on his hip in a pretty tense standoff. And you see Bellick is kind of like standing back. He's looking at the both of you, but he's analyzing the situation. Then he says, I bet Fairfield sent you here, didn't he?
So, David, without breaking eye contact or anything, he says, here's what we're going to do. We'd like to leave too. We'd like to leave with you, because you have the only boat. So, we're going to restrain you, temporarily. We need to run back inside, real quick. We'll be right back out. And then the four of us are going to get out of here and get to safety. And then he'll nod to Jan to help, like, tie these guys up, basically.
I'm going to need you to drop that weapon real slow. Set that on the ground.
You see Bellick kind of turns and looks at the guy and then looks at you, and you see his eyes dart around as he's thinking very hard.
Don't think. Just do what I'm saying.
Thinking is my job.
That right now, that's going to get you in a lot of trouble.
Kind of looks back.
We're trying to save your lives.
Gives a nod to the guy next to him and just does a little point like towards the ground. Drop it.
All right, so I'll look at David. David, can you cover these two?
Yeah.
All right. I'll very carefully, you know, put my weapon behind me. You know, still got a shoulder strap. Get some of the, what's it called now?
Zip ties.
Zip ties. Yeah, I put a flex cuffs is what I put on my character sheet. But yeah, see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple of those out. But I first pat down the security guy, really carefully, checking all the areas where he might possibly hide anything. You know, knives, concealed weapons. Check his belt, check his shoes, check his boots. You know, just do an extra thorough job on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so when I'm sure that he's good, I'll put him in the position, with hands behind the back, get the flex cuffs out. I'll double, not, you know, cup this guy, basically. And then I'll move over to the other fellow, to Bellick, and do the same with him. Real careful pat down. Make sure he's got nothing concealed that I can determine.
He doesn't.
Yeah. And once he's thoroughly checked, I'll also put his hands behind his back, double flex cuff him as well.
The only thing you find on him is a satellite phone.
Oh, I got one of those too. I'll check his and check mine, and just for curiosity's sake, is it the same kind of phone or?
Oh, his is never seen a satellite phone like his.
I'm gonna hand that to David. David gets his cool satellite phone. Yeah, I'll keep my own.
Sure, I'll add it to my character sheet.
Cool satellite phone.
Oh yeah.
One other thing that I would like to grab before we leave is the key to the boat.
Yeah.
It's in the, it is straight up in the ignition that we're getting ready to leave.
In the ignition, yeah. That makes sense,
so
yeah.
I'll take the guns that they are no longer using. I'll pick those up, put those in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Just drop them in the bay. So they can't recover those.
Yeah.
All right. And I'll look over at David like, you sure about this?
David will nod. And then turn to these two guys and say, "We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere."
Quick smile.
Yep.
Yeah. Bellick kind of just shakes his head. Lepus wanted to kill you both in your sleep. The only reason you're alive is because of me, but go ahead.
I'll turn around. Is he still here?
Of course.
Where is he?
Upstairs.
Of course. We don't have a lot of time, David. Let's move it.
As we're leaving, David will turn back and he'll look at Michael Bellick and he'll say, "Well, I guess we're even then." And he'll leave.
He nods.
All right, let's move it. We'll double time it.
Mm-hmm.
I get my weapon back out, get it ready, moving in, and then we're gonna basically looking for an entrance into the basement of this building is what I'm looking for.
Yep. You see lots of crates and boxes and kind of like storage area. But you also see doors with these little key card readers. Strangely enough, the one where you see that it kind of leads to somewhere else, and you see these stairs going up as well, these kind of stone stairs, where you're not quite sure where they lead, but maybe back up through the mansion. The door, at least this one, is in front of you, going deeper into the cove, it seems, is unlocked.
With the two guards I killed, I imagine that they still have their clothes and their things behind, right? They didn't.
Yep.
Those are still there. I should go back and see if I can find a key card on one of those guys.
Yes. One of them has one.
All right, I'll obtain that and then use that. Let's key card this door. Let's see what's in there.
Sure.
Let's open it.
Nope. Beeps.
And shotgun out, by the way.
You see it opens into this long, claustrophobic hallway that is, again, entirely dark. Something took the lights out of here. Long. Estimating the distance is hard. 20, 30, maybe 40 feet, maybe even more.
Get the flashlights on.
And you see all these vents and kind of these grates. You see like a large pump on the side, maybe some kind of, you don't know, heating or
right.
But it seems to continue.
All right, flashlight on. Gun at the ready. I'm basically moving with my gun pointed ahead of me, advancing behind my weapon. You know, like looking down the sight as I'm moving forward, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, same.
And advancing in kind of that sort of tactical walk as we're moving in here with David off. I put it off my left shoulder.
Smooth, steady steps.
Yeah. I mean, we advance into this long tunnel. We're moving.
So going down this tunnel, step by step, and eventually you realize that this hallway is maybe 50 feet long, and then there's another door with another key card.
Okay, I'll listen at the door first, and as long as there's nothing disturbing, I'll key card this thing and carefully open it, peer inside.
You hear no noise. Peering inside, you see that this is a much larger room. Looks like a large storage area. But it is filled with these large vats, maybe 20 or 30 of them, in a quick head count. These large vats filled with strange grayish silvery liquid that moves. And you see these large kind of tubes that are kind of like linked to the top and kind of goes up in the wall.
Yeah. This is where the clones are coming from.
In the middle of the room, you see one figure. A small woman dressed not as sharply as she did last time you met her. Long ginger hair. Mm. Just kind of looking at the vats and a hand on one of them. You recognize Dr. Emma Varney.
Is she armed?
Yes. In her left hand, she has a handgun. And she's just looking at these tanks of this strange substance.
Does she see us?
No.
All right, I'm going to advance quickly at her and yell, "Get on the ground! Get on the ground!" And with my gun out.
She kind of jumps, looks back.
Down, down. And I'm pointing my weapon at her.
She drops the gun, goes on the ground.
Okay, move over, kick the gun away from her, point my weapon at her. Dr. Varney, where's the cookbook?
It doesn't even matter. This whole place is... It's ruined.
Good. Where is it? We don't have a lot of time.
She just kind of points meekly towards the end of this large storage area to a large vaulted metal door.
Okay. I'll glance at David like you got her.
Yeah.
All right, I'm moving towards that door. David, keep an eye on her. Yep. Make sure she doesn't, like, unleash the clones on us or some shit like that, right?
Yep. Yeah, he's got his gun trained on her.
All right, I'm going to quickly move towards that door that she showed me.
Large metallic vault door that is currently closed. You are the first ones here.
For the moment. All right, I'll look back at David. I'm like, you think she'll tell us the code or should I just fucking blow this thing?
He'll look down at her. It's up to you.
I'll yell from across the room, "Dr. Varney, I can blow this thing in half this building to pieces. Do you want me to do that, or are you going to give me the code?"
Yes.
I got two ways to do this.
It's just a copy, and then...
That's okay. Hey, listen to me. Emma, listen. It's okay. We understand. If you want to get out of here alive, just work with us on this. We'll be in and out real smooth. Tell us the code.
You say this to her, but the words as they flow out of your mouth sound kind of cold.
Oh, shit.
And analytic.
Yep.
Too much, but it's too late, they're said. Make a human roll with a minus 40%.
Okay. 11.
Holy shit.
Damn. Holy fuck.
And that was his mental illness kicking him in the ass, right?
Yep. She's in obvious distress. And even though you sounded very, very cold, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, he knows what to say.
Yep. Sometimes it's not how you say it, it's just what you say at the right time. Right now is the right time. She gives the exact combination to enter the safe.
Right. And I will enter those. What's the keypad? It's a dial. Whatever it is, I will enter the combo.
It's a dial.
I turn the dial. Turn the dial the other way. Turn the third way.
Yep.
Lift the bar and open that safe.
Opening the safe, it just kind of opens up. And it's... Maybe you were expecting something bigger or more impressive, but it's a small metallic room. And there's a small table on in the middle of it. And atop of it is this large... It looks like a scrapbook, honestly, with a cover made of this kind of gray skin or leather. And it's big. This thing is huge. It has thousands upon thousands of pages. And it just sits there.
Is it the actual fucking cookbook? Oh, but alright.
Fucking grab it. Let's go. Oh my god.
Should I roll sand for this?
Yeah.
Because I was kind of expecting something different. I got a 96.
Yeah, like a binder.
I got a 96 on my sand roll.
Oh my god.
You kind of look at it and you're like, what? What even is that binding?
Yeah.
And you kind of notice that this room is metallic, but on the walls and like on the ceiling are these kind of weird fungal patterns that you kind of look at. What even is that? Like, why is that here? The cookbook is here.
How heavy is this thing? Like, if I pick it up, do I need two hands? Like, what are we talking about?
Two dictionaries.
Okay, but I can one hand that.
Under the arm?
I'll under the arm.
Yep.
You know, my left arm, tuck it in, and I'm gonna get the fuck out of this vault.
Getting the fuck out of this vault, and as you do, you swear that you saw a fungal pattern on the side move, but you get out.
Right.
You close the door, let it open.
I think he's just gonna go. I got the good put in one hand, my gun in the other. Yeah, I'm moving.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably leave it open.
Okay. And as you leave, Varney just kind of looks at you a little bit, David, and says, Majestic is never gonna let me live for this.
All right. I'm gonna go over there where they are.
No, you go. Get out of here. I'll be right behind you. David says that to you as you're coming over.
10-4. All right, I'm booking it back the way we came. Back down that hallway, back towards the boat. I'm moving.
And they're going to come for you and everyone you know and any organization you're working for. All of it.
You tell me, Emma, what's worse? Whatever Majestic is going to do to you? Whatever's happening upstairs? Or, and he just gestures to his gun.
What Majestic is going to do to me?
Okay. He shoots her.